Since 70 years passed between the time that the Jews were in Golis Babel, right? So how could they say, Hayinu Kecholmim, we were like dreamers? You understand? Now, of course, we could take the pshat of the pasuk and say, it doesn't mean that we were dreaming for 70 years. It's a figurative expression, right? Figuratively means that during all these years we never lost our hope of going back to Eretz Yisrael, right? Or if you wish, you could interpret it a little differently. You could say that when finally the event happened that the Jews were given permission to once more go back to Eretz Yisrael, it was a dream that people couldn't believe that it had actually happened. See? Okay? So that this is the way we have to understand it. But Choni, as I say, is taking this very literally. He says, how is it possible for a person to slumber or sleep, right, for 70 years? So, Yom Echad, one day, Abba Ozo B'Rucho, he was going on the way, and he saw a man, a certain man, was planting a charuv. Charuv is a carob tree.
Right, carob.
This is what we call in Yiddish boxer tree. Okay?
St. John's tree.
Yeah. Poo poo.
Poo poo.
No, I never use that term.
Poo poo.
I saw a haru when Neot Kadamim.
Carapin, yeah.
Very beautiful.
Neot
Kadamim,
right.
When it's before it has its fruit, its blossoms are really beautiful.
Yeah. And then, you see the pods hanging from the tree. Yeah.
But that only gets fruit one every 7 years.
Well, this is what he says. So Omalei, so he said to him, to this man who saw planting, he says, Hayat kamashin and tonin, how long does it take before it will be loaded with fruit, before it will bear fruit, right? So Omalei, so he said to him, Achiv nishnin, says it'll take 70 years. So Omalei said to him, Pshitaloch, dechayishiv nishnin, do you really think that you'll live another 70 years? So Amalei, so he answered Choni, said, Hai, or Hai Gabra, in other words, meaning I, right, literally this man, meaning I myself, Almo b'charuva ashkachte. When I was born, I found that there are already carob trees in this world. I found it. So, Kehechi d'shosluli avchonsai, so just as my ancestors planted for me, shosli nami livrei, so I will also plan for my children, for my descendants.
That's
right?
Very famous idea.
So Choni learned something from this man. Then Yosef Kalkorach Riflum, Choni then sat down. Subsequently he sat, and he started to eat his bread. Right? Osalei Shinso. So sleep fell upon him. In other words, I guess he was pretty zat, a little bit tired. And so what did he do? Fell asleep. And him, he slumbered. Ahadrele mishunusi. So he was surrounded by a, as Rashi explains to the Shein Cell, in other words, a rocky outcropping surrounded him. And ichse me'eno, and he was covered from the eyes of other people. In other words, he was concealed. Nobody could see him, because he was surrounded by these rocks. V'nim shivim shanim, and he slumbered for 70 years.
He slept for 70 years.
For 70 years, right. Kikom, when he arose, in other words, he got up from his slumber. Chazi ha'gavro, t'havar kom elakip b'nayim. He saw a man who was, harvesting, who was picking the fruit from it, meaning, from this carob tree. Omalei, and he said to him, Atu deshasalte? Are you the one who planted this tree? Omalei, he said to him, no, he says, Barbare Anu, I am the son of his son. In other words, I'm his grandson. Right. Omalei, so Choni said, Shema mine, from this I can understand that I may shivin shin. From this I can understand now that I must have slept for 70 years. The Rip Van Winkle story reminds us. Chazal HaChabre, he saw a donkey, the Sialdele Ramoche, that given birth to, you know, young colts. Ramoche, Ramoche. Ozalabese, so he went to his home. Excuse me. In Omaluhu, and he said to the people over there, he said, Berei de Choni Amagel, Mikayim, is Choni said, alive, thank you. This is the result of the peppermint, I think. I'm getting an analogy to it.
Really?
Probably. Yeah.
The cure is worse than the
So anyway, he said, tell me.
I love Butterscotch. I'm sorry.
Is Honeysun here? Right.
Yeah, we've never done this then. See, it's like too much rain.
It's all right. Right.
Not enough rain on anything.
It doesn't go right until now. Now I'm getting that reaction.
You're a branch of a helping.
Excuse me. Okay. So he says to him,
that's not what he said. Really have this allergy to peppermint?
No, I have an allergy. I have an allergy to certain foods from time to time.
I'm sorry about my wife. She's got an allergy too.
No?
Can never tell what brings on an allergy. I used to have.
Alright,
so he says to him, Bereda Choni Amagel Mikayim, tell me, is Choni's son around? So Amulei, so they said to him, Berei Lesa. No, his son is not here, they said. Babalei Yisa, his grandson is here. From this incident, you know, as Rashi comments, he understands that what? That his son is already dead.
Passed away?
Yeah. He slept through it, slept through that.
Right, and the one that he sees is his grandson. Omalahu, he said to them, Ano Choni Hamagel, says, I'm Choni Hamagel. Lo Heminu. They didn't believe him. Ozalaves HaMedrash, they then left the house. And he went to the base of Medrash and he said, well, take the box over
there.
Sometimes right in the area, you know, like you walked away from it. I'm only guessing. Sometimes circulating.
No, this apparently is an allergy brought on by the peppermint.
Take your time.
Okay. So he says to them, you know, I'm Choni Amagel, and they didn't believe him. So, of course, we already see the tragedy beginning to compound. He goes to his own home. You see, that's the idea. He goes to his own home.
Right.
And he figures at least he'll see his son over there.
Son is gone, and now his grandson.
Son is gone and dead, right. And only his grandson is here right now. Mm. So he tells them, I'm Choni. And they don't believe him.
Including his grandson, I guess.
Including his grandson, yeah. Right.
Don't
they can't
him.
Believe, right. Also, Leves HaMedrash, he went to the base Medrash. In Shamin Hu the Rabbonim, and here's the discussion going on among the Rabbonim. The Ka'amre, who said, Nehiran Shmatatin Kivishnei Choni Amak. We understand, I mean, to us, the discussion is very clear, just as in the days of Choni Amagel. D'chi hava ayel beis midrash, because when Choni Amagel would come into the beis midrash, then call kushu da hava nuhu l'rabbonin, whatever kasha, whatever was difficult for the rabbis, hava meforek lehu, he would immediately, you know, explain it to them.
He would
He would elucidate for them.
Right.
So, Omaluhu, so he hears his name
being
bandied about, praised, I mean, that he was able to explain everything to the, you know, in his day. And he says, Ana, Nihu, says, I'm the one that you're talking about. So he says, Lo, him and Nihu, but they didn't. Probably there's a mistake over there in the wording. Probably it should say, Omaluhu, Ana, right? Or Anahu, I am he, right? And Inhu Lohimin. I mean, but this is only my guess. I mean, sometimes I'll also play around with the text a little, because it's possible that sometimes a mistake creeps in over there, okay? As we see from the Bach, you know, that the Bach will sometimes correct, or Rashi will sometimes correct the reading.
But they
so
maintain a mistake. They don't,
yeah,
they don't change,
right,
the text.
Very true. Why? Because as much as possible, they want to make sure that they really got it right. Maybe they made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Don't change it.
But there are texts, you know.
They don't want to change it, because
right,
then you set a precedent.
Yeah,
what is required?
There are, right, there are other texts in the Talmud. There was a famous manuscript that was found in Munich, in the library over there. It's called the Munich text, okay? Saviat Minchen. And there, some of the readings are a little bit different from ours. So in scholarly editions, you know, they take that into account. There are also, there was a, there were several different books that were written, you know, particularly the one which is called Dictukte Sofrim, which means that, you know, they worked on variant readings. But also there are other collections where we see that the reading that they had was perhaps a little bit different. As for example, let's say if we take the Rambam. The Rambam quotes something, but the quotation is not exactly the way we have it over here. It would mean then that the Rambam had a text which differs slightly from the text that we have. So now in Eretz Yisrael, you have organizations that are trying to publish various classics and incorporate, you know, what they consider better readings and things like that.
Hmm.
And, it's very expensive. I saw, for example, a big bargain. You can get the Shulchan Aruch, newly edited edition, you know, with all kinds of corrections and everything from original manuscripts and things like that. The bargain is $1,000. Otherwise, individual.
But they maintain the original text.
Right.
They only show you. They only show you the corrections. As
but they have
they,
corrections exactly,
yeah,
right. Yeah.
They don't change the original text.
Yeah. All right, so getting back over here, as I say, we can sort of, you know, see from the swing, I mean, that this is probably what it was at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, he tells him, look, I'm the one, right? I'm Choni. And Lo Heminu, who again, they didn't believe. Not only didn't they believe him, but they didn't even show any respect for him. Yekore, you know, honor. They didn't even give him any honor, any respect. Kinu Goyle. As he deserved. He should have had, you know, respect from them, and they didn't. You know, they probably considered him a meshugan or something.
Yeah, he must have looked awful, you know,
yeah,
sleeping
probably
for 70 years, didn't
right,
change his
right,
clothes,
right,
didn't need
yeah,
nothing, you know.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
So, cholash date, as a result, he became very ill, he became despondent, boy rachme, and he prayed to the Beinu Shalalem Umis, and he died. In other words, he didn't want to live any longer. Omar Rava, so Rava says, Haina Damra Yinshe, this is what people say, in other words, you know, a folk expression. They say, O Chavruso, O Misuso, give me either companionship or give me death.
Hmm.
In other
wait,
words.
This particular Ketach has a lot of very famous
Yes. Well, I say it's a famous story about Choni Hamako, yeah. But we can understand.
Why didn't they give him a kasha to assault? They would have tested him out. Then they would have believed that
they
he was.
They didn't believe
Margo
him at all.
They weren't even willing to experiment.
To
yeah.
Right.
Hey, hey.
Right.
Such
they,
a, such
they
a
didn't,
great
they
man.
Didn't show
yeah.
any respect, whatever. Neither his family believed him, nor did the people in the Beis Medrash. I mean, places. These were the two areas in which, you know, he was always so preeminent, and he didn't have any respect or belief in anything.
Does Rashi
so,
make
right.
reference to how he wasn't noticed for 70 years? He was just overlooked?
No, we
years.
Said, I mean, that rocks had surrounded him.
Like he was
Adoration buried. Was, right. So it's, you know, and as a result, people didn't spot him all these years because the rocks concealed him, right? All right. By the way, to simply summarize this, since we mentioned Rip Van Winkle, after all, it's a famous story. But if you remember, yeah, in the Rip Van Winkle story, they sort of portray him as being, you know, he sleeps for a certain amount of time, and he wakes up, and there's a new country, and King George is no longer there, there's now a president, and they think that he's a Tory, a traitor, or something like that.
Right.
But eventually his family accepts it, right? But, you know, how do the people treat him? It's a quaint old man, or something like that, and more or less this is how the story ends.
Right.
Okay? Here, as we see, the emphasis is not upon the fact that he's a quaint old man. The emphasis is upon the fact that a person has to be, you know, he feels at home in his own generation. When his generation is gone, he has no one to turn to or something like that. He's lost, you know, his effectiveness in life. And I saw it happen time and again, you know. Yeah, right. I remember, for example, this was when I was still a rabbi in Baldwin, okay? So at that time, Baldwin was growing, and, you know, people were moving. By the way, today, Baldwin is it's going backwards, not forwards.
Yeah.
Right. But at any rate, here were these people, they had moved from the Bronx, from Brooklyn, whatever it may be, you know, that and they moved into their gorgeous homes and everything else. And there was a mother, you know, her husband had passed away, and so they moved up from the Bronx, and she should live with the daughter and son-in-law. And they were nice people, believe me. But I spoke to this woman. She felt absolutely alone over there. No place where to go. I mean, you know what suburban life is like. Everything that she had been used to, she'd been used to, you know, a street where there were apartment buildings, and she knew all the neighbors. She knew all the stores that were right around the corner and things like that.
Vis-a-vis Katie.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking of Katie, too. Exactly. It's what happened to her when she moved down to Coconut Street. So, you know, she told me how miserable she was, you know, living over there. So, you know, the story of Coney and Michael came to my mind, too, and in that connection, that you really have to have, you know, the feeling that you have people, you belong, right? That you have people that you can turn to, speak to, live with, associate with. And if we don't have that, then death is perfect.
But in Tony Hamako's story, his family rejected him.
Right.
In this story that you tell, the family made a place for her in their home.
Yeah, correct. All right, I don't say that the parallel is
exactly
100%.
The same.
It's
yeah.
not. But the idea of Chavrusa and Misusa, this I can understand very well. Because this woman
too.
Was absolutely miserable
she
where she was.
Yeah, I understand
she felt,
saying,
you know, right.
None of her
the children, right.
Confused.
I mean, the children were busy with their own lives. I mean, it's the way it goes, you know, unfortunately.
Chavrusa or Misusa?
Yeah, so Chavrusa or Misusa.
That's a, yeah.
That's a very nice trash.
Yeah.
I can understand that. If,
yeah.
if, when your generation disappears.
Yeah.
Right, you feel alone. I can understand that.
I can remember my mother, Alice Shalom, a North End woman. She moved for the first time to the park. What was her trepidation? Whether she could find the shul here that was for her, that was to be for her.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that expression.
It's
all surroundings, it's upbringing, it's,
right.
it's people, it's everything.
Well, you can't take people out of their environment and put them in a new environment.
It certainly requires a tremendous amount of adjustment, and not every person is capable of
making
adjust. That's what we can see.
Okay,
now we have a story about his grandson, Abba Chilkia Barbarei de Chonia Michael Haba. Abba Chilkia.
I just wanted to add one thing.
Oh, sure.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should. I don't think it's interesting. I was talking with Danny Faba.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Then we'll call it for an evening, okay?
Yeah.
Abba Chilkia Barbarei de Chonia Michael Haba. Abba Chilkia was the son of Chonia Michael. He was his grandson, but, you know, it was his son's son, okay? V'chi metzor echalma l'mitro, and when the world needed rain, so Haba Meshad Rabbanu L'gabe, they would send the rabbis, or the rabbis would send, you know, people to him, V'voi Rachmei, and you know, so that he would ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, he'd pray to the Rebbeinu Shalom that rain should come, the Yosef Mitra, and rain would come. So Zimna Chado, once it happened, it's Turech Almu Lemitra, that the world needed rain. So Shodo Rabbonin, Zugad Rabbonin Lagabi. So the rabbis sent a pair of rabbis to him. Nimivoy Rachmei, that, you know, they should, that he should pray. Right? The Nesim Mitra, that rain should come. So Ozulovay say, they came to his house, and they didn't find him at home. Ozul Bedovro, they went out into the field, Yashkechuchu, to cover Rofik. And they found that he happened to be, you know, spading the earth, or hoeing the earth, whatever you want to call it, okay? Yavulei Shlomo, so they said shalom to him. Velo ispalahu ape, but you know, he didn't make any remark to them. He didn't even turn his face to them. So he ignored them, okay? Befanya, in the evening, kihave menakit sivi, when he gathered up some firewood, so dorat sivi, umora bechad kasva, so he schlepped the firewood and the spade on one shoulder. In other words, he was carrying it on one shoulder. Uglimo bechad kasva, and the garment that he was wearing, he was schlepped on the other one. Kula orcha. And Kula Ocha, the entire route, you know, from the time that he left the field until he came home, Lo Siim Isona. He did not put on his shoes. He wasn't wearing his shoes. Kimoti Lamaya, but when he came to water, then Siim Isona. Then he put on his shoes. Kimoti Lahizmi Vihigi, when he came to Hizmi and Higi, these are thorns and briars, all right? So what did he do? So Dalin Hulamoni, he raised the garment. So, in other words, you know, so that they shouldn't be entangled and damaged, you know, by the this, you know, by the thorns in the box, right? Well, but certainly high enough so that you know, that his legs would be exposed to them.
The garment that he was wearing.
The garment that he was wearing.
That he was carrying in his hand.
Well, that was the same glimo, probably. Doesn't say that he wore two different garments. Okay. So he just raised it higher, right? He raised the hem of it.
All right,
understand?
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
all right,
he raised the hem of the garment.
Why did he expose his leg?
Huh?
Why did he expose his legs to the thorn?
We'll come to it. We didn't come to the end of the story yet. Okay, patience. He came out to Lamasa, and then when he came to the village, to the town, because after all, he was out in the field, but, you know, he had to go back to the town, you know, where he lived, where his house was. So Nafko de Vishu, his wife came out la'ape to greet him, kimakashta, and she was all oiskeputz, she was badekt, in other words, she was all dolled up, okay? Kimoto levese, when he came to his house, olas de Vishu bereisho, his wife entered first, v'hoda ayaliyu, and then he followed her, v'hoda ayaliyu abal, and then the rabbis followed him. Yosi v'korachrito, he sat, and he had a bite of bread to eat, and he did not say to the rabbis, you know, come and eat together with me. Okay? And then he took the loaf of bread and he split it. So, you know, for his children. So the kashisha, the oldest son, chada, he gave one piece. Well, it's utra. But to the youngest son, trei, he gave two pieces. And then he said to his wife, Yodana, he says, the Rabbonim Mishum Mitra Kosi. Now, this is not in their hearing, it's understood, all right? He said to her quietly, he says, you know, I know that the rabbis have come because of rain. Basically, let's go up to the roof, V'niboy Rachmei, and we will pray. Efshor the Meratze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yesi Mitra. Maybe the Rabbinu Shalom will... you know, will be happy, and he will, and rain will come. And let us not, you know, make people feel that they owe us a favor. Okay?
He asked his wife to pray with
her. Right. He asked his wife to come and pray with her up on the roof, but he doesn't want to do it in the presence of the Rabbanan, you know, this pair of rabbis who are sitting in the one room house. Okay.
So in other words, they won't get credit for
he and his, he does not want that he and his wife should get credit for bringing the rain. He wants that instead that the Rabbeinu Shalom should get the credit. So Sakali Igra, they went up to the roof. Come Ihu Bechada Zavisa, he stood in one corner of the roof. The Ihu Bechada Zavisa, and she stood in another corner. Kodim Salukanoni, Mehatsu Visa the Visu, right? So at first, the cloud, came, and where did they come? They came from the direction of the corner where his wife was. In other words, it started to rain, but where did the clouds first begin to pour? Where his wife was standing. All right. Kinochis, when he came down, Omalahu, so he said to the Rabbon, he says, Amai Yosu Rabbon, tell me, why did you come? So Amulei, so they said to him, Shagilan Rabbon Legabe Damar, the Noe Rachme. The rabbi sent us to you, literally to sir, right? So that you should ask for, ask for mercy from the Benesh. You should pray to the Benesh of Mabitra, right? You should pray that the rain should fall. So Amalahu, so he said to them, Boruch HaMokam, blessed be God, Shalom Hitzrich Eschem, La'abichukya. He did not cause you to have need of Abichukya. In other words, look, the rain, it's raining already, right? So I didn't have to make any special prayers for it. So Amulei, so they said to him, Yadanun de Mitra, Machmas Marhu Das. Ah, we know, he says, that the rain is coming because of you. Elolemalon Mar, but please tell us, Hani Miladis Miholon, these things that are puzzling to us, my Tama. Tell him, what is the reason, Kiyahidun Amar Shlomo, that when we said Shalom, to you, Lo Isbilon Mar Ape, that you made no reply to us? So Amalahu, so he said to them, Sechir Yom Habay, I was hired as a workman for the day. The Amino, and I said to myself, Lo Ifagir, I cannot waste any time. Okay? In other words, I'm hired, I have to give my wholehearted attention to the work that I'm doing. That's why I didn't say anything to you. So then they said to him, "My tamo doramar tzivi achat kaspe uklima achat kaspe." So tell me, why did you schlep the firewood on one shoulder and the cloak on the other? And of course, the implication, the question is, look, it would have been easier for you to schlep it, to take the firewood and put it on the corner, on the shoulder, where the comet was. So it wouldn't, be so burdensome to you. Right. It wouldn't, cause so much pressure or pain. So Amar Lahu, so he said to him, the Talish Ulohu, so he says, this garment happened to be borrowed. In other words, it's not my garment, it was a borrowed garment. So Lahachi Shali, Lahachi Lo Shali. For one thing, I borrowed it, and for something else, I didn't. In other words, to have a garment to wear, this is what I borrowed it for. But to use a garment in order to schlep firewood, this I didn't borrow it for. And I can only do, what was proper, right? So then they said, "My tama kulo ochol osim marvason." Hey, so tell me, why during the whole way didn't you wear any shoes? But when you came to water, then you put on shoes. So Amaluhu, he said to them, Kula Orcho Chazino. He says, all the, as long as I was walking, I could see where I was going, right? So in that case, I didn't need my shoes, right? But Vamayalo Chazino, but when I'm walking in water, I can't see what's down below over there. In other words, there could be, rocks, or there could be snakes or something over there, so in the water I can't see. That's why I put on shoes to protect my feet. So, okay. My tamo kimota marle hismi mihigi delinto the money. So tell me, they said, when you came to briars and thistles, or thorns and thistles, right? Why did you raise the garment? In other words, you could have used the garment to protect, right, to shield your feet. So Amaluhu, he said to them, Zem alevrucha v'zeh lamarucha. This can be healed and this cannot be healed. In other words, what? My feet can be healed. If I scratch them, so eventually they're going to get better. But the garment, if I scratch, if I tear it, that's no good. I'm ruining the garment. Then they said to him, My tamaki motamar lamosa. Tell me, why when you came back to the town, Nafka de Visu de Mar Kimikashto? Why did your wife come out, Bapots? In other words, with her jewels or her perfume or her beautiful garments, in other words, all decorated, right? Samaluhu, he said to them, It's Kadesh lo etenene b'yishachas. The reason being, because I shouldn't look at another woman. My wife wants me all for herself. That's why. My tama ayala hibereisha. So they said to him, tell me, why did she go into the house first, right? Vahoda ayal mara basra, and then you followed her? After all,
you're the master.
You're the master of the house. You should go first, and the wife should come in afterwards, right? So why did she precede you into the house, right? The Hoda Island, and then you know we came in after you. So Amaluhu, he said to them, Mishum de lo bediktuli. It's because I didn't have a chance to find out anything about you. In other words, I don't know who you are. It's the first time I see you.
So you want to stand beside
your wife? Right. I want to protect my wife. Oh. That's the ideal. Uh-huh. My tamo kikorach marivta. So they said, right, when you sat down to eat, lo amalon isikruchu, why didn't you say to us, come and eat something? So he says, mishum lo nefisha rivta, because I don't have enough bread in the house. The amino,
a real matter of fact.
Yeah.
The answers are not rabbinical. They're just good logic.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it was a big tzaddik, but he didn't put on airs. Didn't put on airs that he was a tzaddik, right? The Amina, and I said to myself, I don't want to have the rabbis, you know, indebted to me when I can't even carry out, you know, when I can't do them the favor, you know. In other words, if I don't have food enough, I don't want to invite them. I don't want to give them false hopes and then say to them,
why invite them and not be able to feed them.
Okay. My tama yovimar liyanuka kishisha chadarifto lezuto trei. So they said to him, tell me, why did you give the oldest son only one piece of bread and the youngest son you gave two? Omalahu, so he said to them, hi, kai bevesa. The oldest son is home, which means that as long as he's at home, he can nosh every once in a while, right? The hi, yas bevekanishta, whereas the other one is in the shul. In other words, he's learning in school, okay? And, you know, he doesn't have a chance. He's learning Torah all day long, the younger one. And so when he comes home, he's hungry, so I have to give him a little bit more to eat. But my tama kodim sulikanone mehach sevisa de haves kaimu de visu. So tell me, they say, why is it that the clouds appeared first in that corner where your wife was? Right? Mr. Devara. Right? La noni today, and in other words, it came first to where she was standing, and not, you know, the clouds didn't come to you, right? First, so he says, mishum de itzo shchicha bevesa. He says the reason is because my wife is always at home, the yavo rifta la niye, and she always gives food to the poor people. And as a result, the joy, the hanoi, you know, that she gives to others, is right at first hand. In other words, she's there, ready to do something for them. The anoyah hibnezuzah, but you know, I give money to charity, lo mikorai nasei, and they don't get immediately the benefit because they first have to go and buy things with the money and so on. So she satisfies their needs immediately, and with me it takes time before their needs can be satisfied. Inami, and another reason is because of the following incident. He says, Hanhu Bilyone, there are a bunch of bums, the Abu Bishrivasun, who lived in our neighborhood. Bilyone, I mean, you know, these are, you know, wise guys who, you know, they're always beating up people and so on and so forth, you know.
What's the word for bums? Yeah.
Well, Biryon means a hooligan.
Right, or something like that. Yeah.
Biryon.
Right.
Here it's Biryone.
Biryone.
Yeah, well,
Biryone.
Living in our neighborhood, Mishua's son, right. So, he says, Anu boy Rachbe de Musa. I prayed that they should die. I couldn't stand them anymore. He said, please, Rabbeinu Shalom, take them away from me, right? But the Hebaya Rahme, she prayed that they should do tshuva.
Oh, I remember this story.
It's a similar story that we learned in Brachas.
Right.
About Rabbi Meir and Bruria.
Right, that was it. Right.
Yeah, that she prayed. Because there, she quoted the Pasuk, right? The Pasuk is, Yitama Chatoim in Ho'orz, you know, it's the end of Bochi Nafshi. It says, Yitama Chatoim in Ho'orz, which we might think means, may sinners, you know, cease from the earth, right? And let there not be any more wicked people, which is the literal translation of it. But she took it a little differently. She said, she said that if sin is removed from the earth, then Rishoyim Adenom, there will no longer be any Rishoyim, there won't be any more wicked. And that, of course, was, you know, an example of the great wisdom of Beruria. Yeah. Okay, so it's a similar story over here. So at any rate, she prayed that they should do tshuva, vahaga, and they did tshuva. Okay, so I think we'll stop at this point, because the next story is about another grandson of Choni Hamagel. This happens to be his daughter's son. Okay. Chonin Hanechbo, they call him. Chonin Hanechbo. So we'll start from Chonin Hanechbo.
Okay. So we're on.
We're still on Kof Gimel, but now we're on the Vays, right?
Vays, yeah.
And as you can see, we're moving ahead.
Yeah, very
nicely
much so.
Over there.
Right.
Yeah.
We really only have about 20 pages left.
No, we have.
So this is November 30th, 1994, and we are on Ahmed Bays.
We're on Ahmed Bays, right? We are now, let's see. We're in the big lines, all right. So with the big lines, if you count, beginning with the first one.
The big line is 11.
Ein, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, 9, 10. Okay, right. On the 10th line over there, second word from the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. So that last week, of course, we read the very, very beautiful stories about Choni Hamagel and his son's son, who is Abba Chilkio. And now we come to another grandson of his. This time it's his daughter's son. Okay? And his name is Chonon Hanechbo. Now, what does Hanechbo mean? Hanechbo means it's somebody who hides and conceals himself. He's so modest that he doesn't want to display anything, you know, of himself in public, right? And we'll find out, you know, how he got this name. Okay? Right. Well, the idea of Nechbo, this already goes back, actually, to the story of King Saul. You know, Shmuel was told to go and to anoint Saul as king, right? But where was Saul? He was Nechbo like Elam. In other words, he was hiding. He concealed himself. He felt that he wasn't worthy of the honor. He didn't want it. And the result. So this is how you get the expression Nechbo, which means literally concealed himself or hidden. Okay? All right. So this is the same term that they're using now for Chonon. Chonon HaNechbo. All right. He was Bartei de Choni Hamagel. Right? He was the son of Choni Hamagel's daughter. So, Kimistor Chalmu Lemitra, when the world needed rain. Alright, you see where we are? Yeah. So, Hava Meshal Rabon and Yanuki de Rav Legabe. So, the rabbis would send little Kinderlach, who were, you know, in, learning in Talmud Torah, they would send them to him. Because these were very young children, okay? The Naktile Bishipulik Gulime, and they would hang on to the hem of his robe, because don't forget, in those days they didn't wear the kind of clothes that we wear, but instead they, long cloaks, right? And so they would hang on to it, and they would say to him, Abba, Abba, Havla Mitra, Father, Father, give us rain. So Omar Lepnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he said to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I say, Bishvil Elu, please do it. In other words, give us rain, right? For the sake of these, Shein Makirim Bein Abba the Yohvid Mitra, the Abba the Yohvid Mitra. These young children who do not know the difference between the father who gives rain, meaning, of course, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and the father who cannot give the rain, meaning. So now they want to know about my Korilei Chonon Nechbo. Why did they call him Chonon, the hidden one? So he says, it's very interesting, it says, which means literally because he would conceal himself in the toilet. Right. Now, there's a difference of opinion as to whether the Beis HaKisei belongs over there or it doesn't belong. If you simply say, as Rashi does, you know, that it doesn't belong, then they share machbi. So it means that, you know, he's very, very modest, and he would conceal himself. He didn't want, you know, to be put into a position, you know, where he would be prominent, and, you know, and people would come to him all the time that he should pray, you know. Actually, he did pray on behalf, but, you know, the point is, he wanted, he was extremely modest. I mean, this is the point. But the other one, if you accept the idea of Beis HaKisei, as several of the other commentators do, then in that case, it means that even when he was in the bathroom, he would always make sure, you know, to conceal himself, and as you know, he would gather his cloak around him in such a way that he wouldn't look upon his nakedness. This is the idea.
Even on his own nakedness.
Yeah, right. Even his own nakedness. Exactly. Omalei Rabbi Zriko l'Rav Sapro. So now we have another statement. This is a statement about Rabbi Zriko, who said to Rav Sapro, he said, Tor Chazi. Come, see, says, Ma bein takife de arad Yisrael l'chassidu de bovel. Take a look and see, what is the difference between the takife of Eretz Yisrael to the chassidim of bovel? Now, we have to translate each one. What is takif? Takif is the Hebrew word which means wrong. Stark, we would say, right? Mamalashin, okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, these are people who have, you know, authority, okay? The people who are authority in Eretz Israel, as compared to those who were, let's say, more gentle and, you know,
pious.
More pious, if you wish. That is obviously more pious, okay? Because even the other ones were pious, but they kept their piety to themselves. This is the point. Whereas these people in Babel, you know, they displayed it openly. He says, Chassidei de Babel, and he explains, he says, the pious people in Babel, and he means specifically Rav Huna and Rav Chista, both of whom were very great rabbis and also greatly pious people. So he says, Ki have mitzorech alma l'mitro, when the world needed rain, so Amre, they said, Nichniv hadode, let's gather ourselves together, v'niboy rachme, and let us pray for, beg the Beit, he should have rachmanis, right? In other words, let's pray to the Beit Shalem. Efshor de Maltzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so perhaps the Holy One, blessed be He, will be appeased, if you wish, right? The Yese Mitra, and he will bring rain. Okay, so what do we see so far? What we see is that they felt that they had to have the community come together, right? Because they said, you know, let's get together and do it, and so on. Okay, Takifei the Arch Israel, but these people who you call, you know, the people, you know, the mighty people, the people who have authority in Eretz Israel or something like that. So, who are they? Kigon Rabbi Yonah. As for example, Rabbi Yonah, Abuhu the Rabbi, who was the father of Rabbi, the Rabbi Mani, who was the father of Rabbi Mani. He says, Ki hava mitzrech alma lemitra, when the world needed rain, so hava ayelave say, he would come to his house, the Omalahu, and he would say to them, to the people in this house, he would say, Havali Gvalki, says, bring me my bag. A bag is, a bag in which he could carry over his shoulder and, carry things in it, okay? One translation says something like a haversack or something like that, okay? Today we would say a knapsack, right. That. So,
a book bag, whatever it was.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking
so
more of
the bag? What was in the bag? Special in the bag?
But my daughter slept back there as well. Stuffed.
Oh, <road.
laughs> Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyway,
that's a duffel bag.
That's the word I'm looking for. Good. Yashikoya. Okay, bring me my duffel bag, okay? The azel, and I will go, the isili mezuzah in bura, and I'll go and I'll bring back grain that costs azuz. Now, this was expensive stuff.
Zeus was expensive.
Zeus was expensive. I mean, we say, you know, the Zaba Nabo Bispray Zuzim, my father bought it, you know, for two Zuzim. I mean, we think that the Zuzis are golden, but the Zuzis, yeah. In those days, the Zuz was worth a lot of money. Okay? So it was expensive, the grain. Why was it expensive? Obviously, because it was a time of
drought.
Famine, right? Time of famine. Azel, let me go, or I will go. Yeah, has nothing to do with donkeys.
Yeah.
That's babalosh. That's babalosh.
All right.
So when he went outside, Aziel v'kai b'duchta b'ikdor. So he went and he stood in a deep place. In other words, in, you know, some valley, a recessed valley. Dichsiv, even as the pasuk says, "Ma'amakim krosicha Hashem, out of the depths I called unto you, O Lord." Of course, we know that in ancient times, you know, the expression that we learned in the Gemara Bakras, which, for example, is "Nochis lefnei hateva," or "Yorad lefnei hateva," right? Which means that he went down in front of the ark in order to daven, because apparently in those days the shuls used to have a lower place where the chazan stood as compared to, you know, the regular floor, okay, so that they could literally fulfill mimamakim krosicha Hashem, out of the depths I call unto you. And not only that, but the I mean, you know, it's Aeneas, you know, it's a place which is, again, where nobody would see him. He would go into, as we say, first of all, into a place which was like a valley, okay? And there he'd find himself some place where, you know, he could not be seen by anybody, right? And he would cover himself with sackcloth. And he would pray. The Yosemite and rain came, okay? And then when he came back to his house, Amrilay, so they said to him, Aisimari Bura, did you bring back grain? So Amalahu, so he said to them, Amina, you know, I said to myself, he says, Oil the Yosem Itra, since the rain is coming, Hashta right now, so Robachalmo, then the things will be okay with the world. Right? The Sioux. Oh, no, all right. That's the end of that story, okay? So, in other words, the world now has relief, and therefore I don't have to come back, you know, buying with the grain that cost the Zeus, because by the time, you know, the rain stops, so the grain already will be selling it much more cheaply. All right, so what do we see from this? We see that, as far as he is concerned, I mean, not only, number one, he, as an individual, was able to do it, but also, even more important, he did not want people to know that it was because of his intercession, because of his prayers, that the rain was coming. He didn't want. He wanted to, you know, so even though he may have been considered among the Takifei, the Eretz Yisrael, among the powerful people in Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, his prayers were prayers in private, and he did not want people to even have the impression he was the reason why the rain was.
Didn't want to get the credit for it.
Whereas Rav Huna and Rav Chista, they openly prayed for rain, and you know, so that people knew that when the rain came, it was because of their intercession. So it was a question. So, in other words, what they're praising over here is the people in Eretz Yisrael, you know, for their modesty, and for the fact that they did not even want to seem to be the reason why the rain came in answer to their prayers.
What was the name of Hani Machal's grandson of him we're talking about?
Yeah, Hananech was another one. First, last week it was Abba Chilkia, who was the
son.
Right, he was his son's son. So this is the daughter's son.
Oh, and what is this new name, the one that the modest
It is called Chonan Hanechba. They gave him the name Hanechba.
Nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
Chonan Hanechba. Right, Chonan Hanechba. He was, but then we read another one. I mean,
this
we
is
just had another
son.
One. The daughter's son, right.
Okay.
But now we just read another one about Rabbi Yonah.
Right.
Abu Hudar, the Rabbi Bani, right, who is the father of Rabbi Mana. It was also, you know, another example of Eretz Yisrael. How, you know, privately they kept their piety, and at the same time, you know, the Rebbeinu Shalom listened to their prayers. Okay, so All right. Vesu, and here is again Rabbi Bani Berei, right? Rabbi Bani, his son, says, Kabbal Mitzari Leida Venisir. He says that from the household, the bay, Nisir, the Nasi. The Nasi was the head of Eretz Israel Jewry, okay? Well, today they use it that term, right? Because in those days, actually, he was the head of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi, okay? He was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was a descendant of Hillel because Hillel's descendants became the Nasiim in Eretz Israel, okay? But, he was recognized sort of by the Roman government as being the religious leader of the Jewish population in Eretz Israel. In Babylonia, correspondingly, they had the person who was called the Resh Galusa, literally, the head of the exile, okay? Or the exilarch, if you're looking for fancy terminology, okay? Now, the Resh Galusa actually had much more political power than the Nasi did. Why? Because the Romans, they didn't really let the Nasiim and Eretz Israel have too much political power. It was primarily spiritual power. But, a certain amount of prestige obviously went with it, right? Whereas in Babylonia, the Resh Galusa was considered like one of the notables of the kingdom. And some of them really had very, very close and intimate relationships with the Persian king, who was at that time was the ruler of all of the entire area.
Is that because in Persia it was more tolerant than the Romans were, would you say?
Possibly, except that from time to time there were also persecutions of Jews also, right, religious persecutions. It all depends. It depended on the ruler. Now, for example, Shavur Malka was one of the famous rulers in Persia. And he was very, very friendly to Rav, Shmuel particularly, he was very close to.
How about Cyrus? Wasn't he friendly to
him? Yeah, but sure. Cyrus, you're talking about approximately 500 years before the Common Era. We're talking now about the Common Era. We're talking about, let's say, the year 200, 300. So this is what we're talking about, of the Common Era, right. So, that's the difference. We're talking about 800 years later, 700-800 years. All right.
This is the discussion of the Second Temple.
Oh, yeah, much after the destruction of the Second Temple, definitely. This is the time already, as I say, of the time that the Babylonian Talmud was being studied and so on, okay, before they actually compiled it. Eventually they compiled it, too. Okay. At any rate, another story now about Rabbi Mani, his son. He says, Avakom and Sarah laid of Enesia, right? So, in other words, from the household of the Nasi, they were bothering him. Mitzari means that they were causing him grief, okay? They were persecuting him, bothering him. So, Ishtata Halkibad Abuha, so he stretched himself out literally on the grave of his father. And in those days, it's literally. If we would say it today, we think in terms, that you pray, you stand in front of the tomb, and you say prayers, right? Like when I go to the Beis Elam or something like that. But in those days, actually, they would lie, they would stretch themselves out on the grave and say prayers. This is why, this is what Ishtatach means, okay?
Right.
Yeah, they would spread themselves out. All right, so he stretched out over his father's grave in order, to pray to him and to ask him, to help him. And Omalei, and he said to him, Abba, Abba, Hani Mitzarili, they're bothering me, these people. So Yom Echad, one day, Havakol Chalfei Hasam. So, people from the Nasi's household who were bugging him, happened to pass by this grave. Inkut Kara, this is fire. So the feet of their horses suddenly became stuck. They couldn't move. Ad Kabilu Alaihu, until they literally accepted upon themselves, in other words, they made a resolution for themselves, the Lo Komitsarile, that they would not bother him anymore. And when that happened, so then they were able to move on. So in other words, this was another sign that, Rabbi Mani, was a very, very pious person, and miracles could occur because of his prayers. Okay? Vesu, Know the story? Rabbi Mani have a shechiyah kamid Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef. Says Rabbi Mani happened to be found. In other words, he liked to frequent Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef. In other words, he liked to come to his yeshiva all the time, and you know, be with him. It's like Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, as though let's say he was his rebbe or something like that. Okay, and he would go over there. So Omalei. And he said to him one time, as he said to Rabbi Yitzchak, he said to him, Asire, Devei Chomi, Chometzari, it says, the rich people who are related, the rich members, if you wish, of my father-in-law's house, they're bugging me. I mean, they're bothering me. And whatever they were doing to him, obviously, you know, they were making life miserable for him, which is what Mitzari means. So after all, we know the word Tsar. Mm. Mm-hmm. Sorrow, sorrow, right? So they're making my life miserable. So Omar, Rab Yitzchak said, Leonu, all right, let them become poor. The Yeonu. Well, they became poor. All right, good. Omar, Kodachuli. So then he came to him and he said, hey, they're putting pressure on me. What kind of putting pressure on me? The answer is, now I got to support them. You know,
they fastened themselves to
right.
be really...
You're thinking of Davak, but this is Dachak. Dachak means to...
Well, no, Davak
means
to you know
press.
What I'm thinking? I was thinking of Hadik. Hadik at Hagura. Yeah, I know,
right.
The Davak is right, to glue, right. Right.
All right. So anyway, you said.
Sorry. My.
Yeah.
Problem.
Okay. No. So we make.
Okay.
Great. What's the difference? But it means anyway that they're putting pressure upon.
My passion.
So Omar. So he said, all right, Liasru. All right, let him get rich. They got rich.
They got rich again.
Okay. So apparently, Rabbi Yitzchak had a little influence with the Meir that he could pray. On behalf of Rabbi Mani, okay? So Omar, so now another thing, he came to a complaint. He says, Lo mikabli alai inshi besi, he says, literally, the people in my household, they're not acting nice with me, or I'm not altogether satisfied with them, right? But in reality, as we'll see in a moment, when he says the people in my house, he actually meant one person only.
Uh-huh.
His wife. Wife. In other words, I'm not happy with my wife, is essentially what he says. So Omar Leh, so Yitzchak said to him, Mashmo, what's her name? He said, Chano. Okay. So what was his prayer? So Yitzchak prayed, he says, Tisyapi Chano. All right, let Chano become beautiful. But Tisyapi, since she became beautiful.
Apparently, she must have been ugly before that.
Obviously, he wasn't happy, right? She was not exactly.
You wanted a marijuana?
A little miskite, you know, or something.
Well, why not?
Yeah, and so he wanted a Hollywood starlet for a wife. It was all thought. So she became beautiful. Omalei, so he said to him, comes up with another complaint. He says, called Nagandu Alai. He says, look, she's. Lording it all over me right now. In other words, she's become so beautiful that she's bossing me, and she's not letting me live. So Omalei, so he said, Hochi, if that's the case, then Tarsa Chana Lishachru. So okay, so let Chana get back again to her plainness. Okay, literally to her blackness, to her plainness. The Chosra Chana Lishachru, and it's exactly what had happened. So okay. So sometimes you can ask for something and it turns out that what you thought was going to be a glick, it was no glick in the final analysis. Hanhu trei tamidei. Then there were two tamidim. The avakamed Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef. Since we're mentioning about Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, so we'll tell a story about him. All right? There were two tamidim who were there before Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef. And Omulei, and they said to him, the boy Marachme Alon, right? The Nechkim Tuva says, please pray on our behalf that we could become more intelligent, that we could become smarter. Okay? Obviously, they felt that they weren't able to get the Gemara as well, so they figured that if the Rebbe would pray for them, so then, their IQ would have increased, right? So Amalahu, so he said to them, Yemiho Yisor Shilachtiha, which means as follows. Yeah, it was with me. In other words, I did have such a power. But Vishilachtiha, I got rid of it. In other words, I can't go around answering all these different things. I cannot make you smarter because I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the special powers that I have, I got rid of it. Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven, now we come to another story. Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven, he says, well, of course we had him before too, Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven. Says, how was Shekhir Kamedo Rabbi Yossi de Manuchas? He was, you know, he always would be found in the presence of, or in the school of, you know, Yeshiva of Rabbi Yossi of Yukras, okay? Shafke. And then he gave up on him. He also the Kamedo Rabashi, and he came to Rabashi. So, Yom Echad, one day, Shami the Kogoris, he heard that he was discussing the following problem. He says, Omar Shmuel, the problem is that Shmuel said, Hashele dog bin hayon b'shabbos, if a person takes out a fish from the sea on Shabbos, so kevin the yovesh bo kisela chayim. As soon as there is a spot on this fish that is as dry, that it becomes dry and that spot is as large as a sila is like a coin, all right? Let's say like a quarter. If there is a spot as large as a quarter which is dry on this fish, then in that particular case, you're chayav. Chayav means that you're chayav achatas. All right. So this needs a little bit of elucidation, and let's explain a little bit more. We know that there are what we call lamites oves balocha, right? There are 39 different categories of malacha, you know, which are prohibited on Shabbos. Okay? Now, one of them happens to be shechita. Not allowed to shecht an animal. Why? Not allowed to kill an animal on Shabbos. And the same thing would apply to a fish. Okay? So
that's why they use the catch fish skin of it for the tent of the Mishkan, is that?
Pardon me?
What was the av malacha? They used this, they killed the animal
and used the... Yeah, I mean, that was the idea. That it might have been killed for that particular purpose, right? Of course, it didn't apply to korbanos. With korbanos, if it was a korban sibor, if it was, you know, on behalf of the entire people of Israel, then that particular case, that overrides the prohibition. But if it is, you know, a korban yochid, if it is a korban that an individual brings, then that was not sacrificed on Shabbos. So, all right. So the prohibition over here, as we see, is
prohibition.
You can't
catch a fish on Shabbos.
Right. You're also not allowed to catch a fish on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, there are two prohibitions. Let's take a look at the Tosfos over here.
Okay.
You see it over there.
Yeah.
Shaila Dog Miliam. He says, Shaila, first of all, he explains, what does the word Shaila mean? He says, Kamo Magbia. It means to lift up. Okay. We would say to, you know, to catch a fish or something, but he says it means like lift up. So he says, Kevin Sheyovish Bekesela, right? As soon as there is a dry area over there, which is the size of a cellar, so he says, Shadayin Humifarkes, even though the fish is still, as we would say, tsapling, in other words, it's still, it's gasping for breath, but the point is it's not yet dead, right? And he adds something more. And he says, and at the moment Shemafarkes, that he's doing it, he grabbed the fish and he threw it right back into the sea again while it was still alive, right? Mm-hmm. So Chayev, nevertheless, he is liable. Liable for what? In other words, he's liable. Of course, he did it, you know, not deliberately, but he did it not realizing that it was a sin to do this on Shabbos. Because remember, what is he obligated to do? He's obligated to bring a chatas, as we would say. In other words, a sin offering. And sin offerings are not for deliberate sins. Sin offerings are only for things that you've done bishgaga, you know. Because, you know, that's how they're categorized in, in the Sefer Bamidbar, okay? That, you've committed it, through error. Right, you didn't realize, you know, that you were doing something wrong at that time. Okay, so here the situation is that the fish is still alive when he threw it back into the ocean. Right.
Right.
Okay. So, but nevertheless, they say he is already chayev. He will have to bring a korban chatos because he has committed a sin. And what is the sin? It's mishum netilas neshama, shehi av malocha. The sin is that of literally taking a soul, in other words, you know, of causing death, even though the fish didn't die, but nevertheless, it's as if it had, because already it had, you know, a dry spot like this. If he had taken it and immediately thrown it back into the sea, you know, before it became a little dry, then in that case, it would not be higher for that. Okay. Shia melocha. This is the locha that nan hashochto. In other words, if a person slaughters or strips the skin, mafshit is to, you know, in English they call it flaying it, you know, you strip the skin of the animal, and gabe yoves malochis. So these are included among those things that are prohibited, right? All right. Now, let's take a look at the Rashi. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yom Echad Shamei, right? One day, so Rav Ashi heard, Rabbi Yossi Bar Rovin, right, so it says, Yom Echad Shamei, Rabbi Yossi Bar Rovin, Rav Ashi, right? Rabbi Yossi Bar Rovin, who came, you know, to Rav Ashi's academy, as we said, to Kogoris, and he was learning the following, Omar Shmuel, right, Hashila Dog Min Hayom, B'Shabbos, Kevin the Yovish Be'Kesela, so Afal Pishu Mefar Case, as we said, even though, you know, it's still squiggling around, so the achakein, in other words, it's not completely dead yet, but nevertheless, the ocean of farkes is shlicha b'mayim, and even though while it's still sapling, as we would say in mamaloshen, he threw it back into the water. So chayav mishum tilts the shamashi av melacha. Okay, the dana shofte. So far, actually, Tosfos and Rashi are in agreement.
Mm.
But omale Rav Yosi uvein snap pirov. So Rav Yosi then says to him, but this spot, if it is bein snapir, of the snapirin are the fins of the fish. Remember, a kosher fish has to have two simonim, right?
Scale.
Snapir, the kaskes. Snapir means that it has fins, and kaskes means that it has scales. Not snails, but scales. Okay. And speaking about snails, I still will come back to that in one second. But let's finish the rush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what Rashi is adding over here is, he says, the vadai lo chai, right? Because once you find it, you know, that it's dry between the fins, between the fins, right? So the fish cannot live. But, he says, uchshein mechusot seido askinen. We're dealing with a case where you don't even have to catch the fish. As for example, let's say he caught it inside a basket, and he left it in the water, even as, you know, fishermen are wont to do that, when, you know, when they get it, they still keep it in something which has water so it'll stay alive.
That's trapping, isn't it?
Right.
You're not allowed to trap on Shabbos?
Not allowed to trap, exactly. Not allowed to trap on Shabbos. So that's also prohibited. With Yontev is already a different story. I'm not talking about Yontev on Shabbos, but a Yontev which would be on a weekday. Except if it is food that you need, then it might possibly be permitted if you have the Gemara speaks about the vibar, which is like the Latin vibar. In other words, you have a little fish pond or something like that, and you know, so that you can cut off the water from the outside so that, you know, the fish will be in there and it's your own private property. Then in that case, on the yontif, if you need the fish, you know, for fresh food, there's something you're permitted to do that. But you cannot, do it, you know, for the future. And shechting an animal, again, it's a question. If it's the only source of food that you have, okay. But if, you have other sources of food, then of course you're not allowed to shop on Shabbos, okay? On Yontif. But Shabbos is no question that you're not allowed to be. So, what Rashi is saying, you know, is that, look, even if under the best of circumstances you're not allowed to trap, and you're not allowed, you know, but even on these circumstances where we think the fish is going to live, the very fact that it already has developed a dry spot between the fins and so on shows that the fish does not have very long to live, okay? And therefore, it's as if you were shechting it, and shechting it is, of course, an av malocha, which is prohibited on Shabbos. Okay, so at any rate, he quotes this Gemara, you know, said in the name of Shmuel, right? So Amalei, so what did Rav Oven say? He said to Rav Ashi, he said, V'leima mar v'ein stav hirov. Why don't you say, you know, that the spot has to be, you know, between the fins? So Amalei, so he answered him and said, "Lo Mar Dahu Rabbi Yosef Bar Oven Amaro, aren't you of the opinion that Rabbi Yosef Bar Oven is the one, you know, who made that statement, you know, who added the clause about being stopped here, right?" So Amalei, so he said to him, "Ananiha, that's me. I'm the one. In other words, I am, you know, I am Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Oven. Apparently, you see, Rabbi Ashi didn't know who he was, just saw the person over there. And, you know, so Rabbi Ashi is giving a lecture about it and discussing this. And, you know, he throws in his 2 cents. And he says, yeah, I heard that, you know. And so he says, I'm the one. Yeah. Okay. So I'm Aloy. So now, Rabbi Ashi says to him, weren't you always, you know, in attendance with Rabbi Yossi from Yukras? Isn't that where you were always learning and so on? How come you're over here right now? So Amalo, so he said to him, Ain, yes, he said. So Amalo, so he said to him, my Tama Shafkemar, the Osahochi, so why did you leave him and come over here? So Amalo, so he said to him, Gabra, the Albrevi Albarte Lechos, right? A man who had no pity whatever, either for his son or for his daughter. Ale Didi Hechi Chayas, how could he have any kind of pity for me? In other words, if a man shows no compassion, either for his son or for his daughter, so how can I expect him to have compassion for me? So now they want to know, my he, what took place? I mean, that, you know, he left him, you know, this Rabbi Yosef ben Yukras. Why? What? How? What do you mean? That he has no pity for his son and daughter. So he tells him, Yom Echad, one day he says, Ava Agre Le Agirim Dov. Says they had hired workers who were working in the field. Nogalahu, so it already became dark. For the wise of the lifter. But, you know, Rabbi Yossi had not, this is the Rabbi Yossi of the Eucharist we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. He did not bring them their food, you know, because a hired worker, the law is that in those places where food is considered, you know, part of the deal in hiring.
Part of the salary.
Part of the salary, right. So you have to do it. You have to give them. If it was in an area, you know, where food is not provided, then you're not required to do it. But if you are in a place where it's required, then you have to give it, right. Yeah.
This is the famous story of Rabbi Yossi. We had a lot of arguments about this.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
with the son and the daughter.
Yeah, right. This is what we're dealing with, the son and the daughter right now. Okay. All right. So, at any rate, you know, so there was no food. They were working all day long, and still there was no food. So, Amr Lay, so they said to him, Livrei, you know, to his son, they said, Kafinon, we're hungry. So how they asked for Tusitain, so they happened to be at that moment sitting underneath a fig tree. And Omar, so the son said, Te'eno, te'eno, O fig tree, he says, Hotsiyi perasayach, you know, bring forth your fruit, the yochlu po'ale abba, so that the workers for father will have something to eat, okay? Afiku, so the tree did that, brought forth the ochlu, and they ate. So ad hochi v'hochi, so in the meantime, osabuha, his father came, omaluhu, and he said to the workers, lo sinketu b'tataychu, the hide and the says, please, don't hold it against me don't be angry with me, you know, the fact that it's already dark for you, and, you know, I didn't come until this point, you know, to bring you food. He says, a mitzvah tarachno, right? I was busy with a mitzvah. Yad hashto, hu the sagay. And so it's only now that I can come. So amulei, so they said to him, Rachmona l'spoich kehecher de asbon baruch. It says, may the all merciful one, you know, Rachman, Rachmona, may God, in other words, bring you satiety, in other words, may God supply all the food that you need, even as your son has supplied us with our food. So Amalahu, so he said to them, Mehecha, from where? In other words, how did he do it? So Amru, so they said, Hochi v'hochi habamaisa. This is, you know, and I told them all the various details of, you know, what happened. Omaloi, so he said to him, that is to his son, he said, Bini, my son, Ato hitrachta es koinecho lehotzi te'enu perisech shalom isbana. He says, you bothered the Rabbeinu Shalom that he should cause the fig tree to bring forth its fruit when it was not the right time yet for it. In other words, you bothered the Rabbeinu Shalom to form a miracle with this fig tree. So Yosef Shalom isbana, then may you die, you know, at a time which should not have been your time. In other words, may you, right, you should die at an early age. Right. First thing, exactly.
That's the first part. The second
right.
part is coming.
Bartemai. Now, what's the story about the Dorim? Because remember he said, you know, that a man who cannot have compassion on his own son and daughter. So what's the story with the daughter? My, what is it? So he says, Avile Barto Balas Yofi. He says he had a daughter who was a beautiful girl. Yom Echad, one day, Chazilahud Gavro, he saw a certain man, the Havakarye Behutza, that he was making a hole in the fence, the Kochazilah, and he was looking at her. So Omaloi, so he said to him, my high, what's this? What's going on? Omaloi, so he said to him, Rabbi, he says, Im Lilok Chole Zachisi, if I wasn't worthy enough to marry her, but Liroisa Loyeske, shouldn't I be worthy enough at least to look at her? Omalo, so he said to her, Biti, daughter, Komitsaris Lahula Briyosa, you are bothering human beings. So in other words, your beauty is such, you know, that you're causing too much temptation to other beings, that is to human beings. Shuvila Farech, return to your dust, in other words, die, right? So that the children of the man will not stumble because of you. In other words, they shouldn't sin before.
But how could he do that?
How could he? Absolutely. How could he? This is why he's condemned. Obviously, he's not being praised for it. He's being too frum.
Robbie,
the son,
he's being too frum.
The daughter.
But even the son, I mean, what did the son do that was wrong? I mean, so the Rabbeinu Shalom, look, if the Rabbeinu Shalom didn't want to do it.
What did he do? He asked for the figs.
Right. His intentions were good. He wanted.
He made the
right.
pigs come
right.
ahead of time.
Right. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
What happened to him at the end?
Huh?
What happened?
First, he sacrificed me. Told him to die.
Right. So both the son and the daughter died at an early age because of this.
They should die.
So this is the reason.
We had arguments about this.
Right. Right.
We had a lot of arguments.
So this is the reason then why he left him. And why he left, you know, Rabbi Yossi ben Yukras, and he went to Rav Ashi. He says, I can't stay with such a man, you know, who it's has no pity good. Upon his own children.
That's good reason.
Yeah. Habilei Hahu Chamro. Now we tell a story again about, you know, Rabbi Yossi bar Ovid. He says, he had a donkey that they would hire out called Yoma for the entire day. You know, if you owned an animal, so you could hire out the animal for work, right? So his donkey was hired out to people. They would rent it in order to carry their burdens on it. Okay, this is what they use donkeys for. They use them as beasts of burden, as a general rule, sometimes for travel, okay? But particularly as beasts of burden. So at any rate, Le'urto, in the evening, you know, after the day was over, so Hava Mishadile Agra Agapa. They would send the money that they owed for hiring it on the back of the donkey. In other words, I guess the donkey had some sort of a saddle or a bag or something like
right.
that,
yeah.
in which they would put the money that they owed. Okay? The Asya the Vemora. And it would come back to its master's house. Now, the Tofu law or Botsra law, if they gave more than they had to, or if they gave less than they had to, lo Asya. Then the donkey wouldn't budge. Donkey was very, very exact. It had to be the right amount or else it wouldn't budge. Okay?
Smart donkey.
It was a very smart donkey. Listen.
It was an ass.
Even the animals in Tzaddikim, you know, some of these tzitzitkas, you know, spilt over them. Okay?
Tzaddikas.
Right. Yom Echad, one day he says, in shoes, zuga de santa le'alo. A pair of shoes happened to be forgotten. On it, you know, somebody was carrying it. They left the shoes over there.
On the donkey.
On the donkey. Below Oslo. And it refused to budge. Adisha klunho mine. Until they took it from it. The Hoda Oslo. And then it went on its way. Okay, went back to its master. So this is what a good donkey he had. Okay. Eloze Ishbirto, or maybe it's Ishbartoso. Of course, we have such a person mentioned in Pirkei Avos. So Kadhavu Chazalei Gaboy Tzedaka, when those who were busy, the Gaboy, you know, those who came around in order to collect money for Tzedaka, when they would spot him, Havatoshimine, they would hide from him. They didn't want to bug him, they didn't want to bother him. Why? The Cholmai Behava Gabay Yavilahu, because whatever he had, he would give to them.
We're still talking about Rabbi Yossi or Yuchanan?
No. We're talking now about Rabbi Elazar Ishbatosa. Okay? Yeah.
Because
either Ishbirto or Ishbatosa, as I said. Okay? So, you know, now we're dealing with different stories about great tzaddikim and, you know, the righteousness. Okay? So, here's a story then about him. That as soon as he would spot, you know, people were collecting for tzedakah, he would run after them. He wanted to give tzedakah. And not only that, yes, he wanted the mitzvah given tzedakah, but he would empty out his pockets and give them whatever he had. Okay? Yom Echad, one day it happened, the Papa Solik Meshukah, he went into the market, Lemiz ben Dunya Devarte, in order to buy things that were necessary for his daughter's wedding. In other words, a trousseau for his daughter. Okay? Chaz Yuhu Gaboy Tzedakah. So the gaboy of the, you know, were out collecting tzedakah, they spotted him, and toshiminei, and they hid from him. So he went to Rahat Basrei, and he ran after them. And Omalahu, and he said to them, Ashbiatichu, I want you to swear, but my askitu, tell me, in other words, you must tell me what you're doing. In other words, what purpose are you collecting the charity for? Right? So Amulei, so they said to him, B'yosem Yusema, we're collecting on behalf of an orphan man, right? An orphan boy and an orphan girl. Okay? Omalehen, so he said to the Gaboyim, he said to them, Ha'avodo, he says, literally, by the Avodo of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, this was, you know, when they were taken oath, they didn't want to say, you know, in the name of God, so he swore by something else which was holy, right? Which in this case was the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, the sacrifices. It says, Avodah, it says, Shehein Kod Bin Leviti. They really take precedence over my own daughter. Shokal called the Havad Bahadeh, so he took out everything that he had, the Yohav Lahu, and he gave it to them. But Poshle Chad Zuzet. One zuz alone remained in his pocket. Everything else he gave to them. So Zovan le chite, the asik shade biachavlo. So he bought wheat with it, and he carried it up, and then he put it into the granary. Okay. Aside the visu, so his wife came. And Omer lo levarte, and she said to her daughter, "My Isi Abuch, what did your father bring home?" So Omer lo, so she said to her, "Kol ma da Isi b'achlava shadita. Whatever he brought home, he threw it into the, you know, the granary." All right. So Asya lemiftach, bovid achlava. So she came, in order to try to open up the door to the granary. Chazas, and she saw achlava de malyachite, that it was, you know, the granary is just full of wheat. The konavka, not only that, but it was already coming out, but sinora de dosha, the hinges of the door.
Spilling out.
Right, spilling out. The lo miftach bova mechite. So that was so much that you couldn't even open it anymore. I mean, this is how full it was, and it's just coming, you know, overflowing. So Azlas Bartei Levei Midrash. The daughter came to the Beis HaMidrash, where her father was, and Amar Lei, and she said to him, Bo urei mesta l'cho hadcha. Come, see, says, what he who loves you, in other words, the Beit HaShalom, has done for you. So obviously he came, and then, oh my Lord. So he said to her, Avoido, he says, I swear, he says, Harei hein hektish aleich. These are now hektish. Hektish in the sense that they're not allowed, you know, it's now dedicated to the Beit HaShalom or to the purposes of the Beit HaShalom, right? And you know, no, I can not allowed to use them privately. The ein loch b'hen elo kiyachem in Israel, and all that you can enjoy in them is like any other poor person in Israel. Obviously, you know, for hektish, so you know, it means that it was now hefka for everyone, and you know, it was for the poor people to use. Okay, so this you can have the same share that any other poor person has, but he refuses to benefit from the miracle that has been performed for him. This is the idea. Does not want to. This was Rabbi Elazar of Yerta. Right.
Right.
So I say now we have stories about different people. Okay.
Tell me, all these men, because I'm trying to get it. This was at the time of Rava and
Well, they're actually different times.
They're
different times because some of them, some of these stories are from Eretz Israel, others are stories are from Babel. So they're all from different periods. Okay. In other words, the period could be either before, or it could be a little bit later, and so on and so forth. Because what happened is that simply these various stories are gathered together.
They're just gathered because it could be actually over a period of a couple hundred years.
So here's another story right now.
Interesting.
Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyo. Now Rabbi Yehuda, who was the Nasi, but this is not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. You see, the reason why they call him Nasiyo is in order to distinguish him from his grandfather. His grandfather was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was the
head of the Babylon.
The head of, well, he was the head of Eretz Yisrael Jewry, and it was in his day that the Mishnah, if you remember, was edited. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyo was his grandson. Okay, I mean they ran with names like, you know, Yehuda, Gamliel, Hillel, right? But particularly Yehuda and Gamliel happened to be very, or Shimon. These were the common names that they passed down in the family. Okay.
It's fair to say that these stories that are collected are of occurrences that occurred both in Eretz Israel and in Babylonia.
In Babylonia, right? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiyo, he says, Gozapanisa. He proclaimed the fast. I mean, obviously there wasn't any rain, right? And so he proclaimed the fast. Boy Rachme, he prayed, Vilayosa Mitra, and rain didn't come. In other words, I mean, he himself was the one who davened for the Yomit, so to speak, right? Mm. And yet the rain did not fall. Omar, so he said, Kama Iko Mishmuel Horamosi Lihud Ben Gamliel. He says, take a look and see the great difference between Shmuel, who came from the town of Ramah, in other words, you know, the prophet Shmuel, as compared to Yehuda ben Gamliel, who, meaning himself, you know, he was Yehuda, and as I said, his father was Gamliel. Okay, I told you, you know, that the name is grand, you know, in the family like that. Okay, so what is the reference to Shmuel? If you remember, at the time when Shmuel finally anointed Shaul is the first king of Israel,
right,
but he was kind of angry with the people of Israel because of the fact that they had demanded a king. You know, they wanted to be like all the goyim, And, you know, he was angry that they wanted to have a king. God alone should be king, and, you know, he felt that a human being should not be. But still, he had to eventually accede to their wishes. So he pointed out that, look, halok tzirchitim ayom, today, isn't it the time, you know, for the harvest of the wheat, right? And, you know, it should be a dry season, right? And instead, it started in Tepor over there, okay? So the point is then that Shmuel could pray to the Beit Shalom and the rain could come and the rain could stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here he says, I, Yehuda, the son of Gamliel, I, he says, I loy lador shekein iska. Woe to the generation that stuck with someone like me, right? I lo lemisha also be yomot. And woe unto a person that such a thing should happen to, you know, in his time. She also be yom of kach, that, you know, something like this could happen. In other words, what? That Yehuda ben Gamliel could pray, and yet
no rain would come.
No rain. There's no response. Cholash date. He felt very, very despondent. The Yosemitra. And then rain came. In other words, it was because of the fact that he felt in his own heart, you see,
that he
sadness, sorrow, and so on. So now, you know, the prayer for rain, you know, would be more effective. Because you have, if you're going to approach the Rebbeinu Shalom, you have to approach the Rebbeinu Shalom with a heart. And now his heart, you know, was, you know,
heavy.
His heart was heavy. And he could understand, you know, the problems of the people. I mean, also that they didn't have any rain. So as a result, now his prayers were answered and rain came. So now they tell a somewhat similar story. The vein is Sio. Now, the household of the Nasi, here it doesn't mean, you know, the same one that we were talking about, but, you know, the Nasi's household, Gozata Nisa. It proclaimed a fast day. Excuse me.
You didn't give money or peppermint candies.
No. I learned my lesson from that.
No. That peppermint didn't. No peppermint.
No. Yehuda ben Gamliel, it's too bad he didn't have the power to see into the future. Well, looking back at Shmuel, he thought that Shmuel had power. He should have heard of Yitzhak ben Eliyashiv, who could make people rich or poor, ugly or beautiful.
Yeah, make it rich and poor.
Right. But as you can see, in the end it turned out that it didn't pay to be rich and it didn't pay to be poor. Right. Okay. Don't go around making the Rebbeinu Shalom make all kinds of changes because it doesn't work out.